I read that the thing that people, especially younger people, are wanting more than anything in church is authenticity. You think we had a little of that today? And that's reality. People need to be healed. The gifts of the Spirit need to flow. There, new people need to come in. The church needs to grow. People got to be healed. All of these things, it was so wonderful. I just loved the service. And I want to talk to you this morning about intimacy with God. Last week I talked with us about being rich toward God, remember? Based on the scripture which says we can have great treasure on earth, but we are fools yet if we are not rich toward God. Remember in Matthew 7 it says, even though you say you heal the sick and cast out devils in his name, but Jesus said, I will turn and say, I don't know you. He said that even miracles can be done by people tapping into other powers, but they don't know him. And the important thing of all is that you know him. This might surprise some of us that people can do this, but the fact is, you know, we can tell the Lord, I've done this and I've done that. We can never impress Jesus with the things we can do or the things that we accomplish. The one thing he wants for us is to love him and know him, not just work for him.
That's right.
Welcome, Alethea, and your family this morning. I just saw you. These folks are from Knoxville, and she faithfully does my personal website and puts some creativity in there that I couldn't come up with. Hallelujah. Knowing God is everything. Here's something that many people miss. Jesus taught a theology of relationship.
Amen.
Jesus did not come to bring a set of rules. He came that we might have life and that more abundantly. God placed us here on earth for himself. Think about it. This is why he created this. Why he created us, and the scripture makes it clear that he is our heavenly Father who wanted a family. And we have the privilege and the power to relate to God because we have the Holy Spirit. That's what makes it possible. The Holy Spirit was moving in our midst today. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son,
hallelujah,
Jesus Christ our Lord. This is not a relationship for a special few. It's a calling on believers. I mean, this means that everybody can know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him. And it's not for you to sit back forever and say, I just wish I knew God like that. I'm going to tell you today, it is the will of God, it's the purpose of God, and what you get out of it and how you can come into it. Amen. You are a child of God and you're sealed by the Spirit of God. And your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God wants you to be in fellowship with him. He's given us a promise, not just to go to heaven and not just to have a good life on earth, but he's given us a promise of intimacy with himself. Now, we don't know the word intimacy concerning spiritual things very much in America. We think intimacy is physical, and it certainly can be, but I'm talking about spiritual intimacy. That means knowing him deeply, really, truly, more than a friend. Luke 14:21, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and, listen, manifest myself to him. It's not supposed to be some cloudy, foggy thing that he's the God up there somewhere. He said, I will manifest myself. Get ready to really know Jesus.
Yes.
If you come into this thing and you are a believer, you have the Holy Ghost. The Father wants you for his child. Manifest. You know, the word manifest means to disclose or to reveal or to make known. He's going to cause you to know him. What does intimacy look like? Well, what it doesn't look like, which it very often is a distant relationship. There are those that have only a distant relationship with him. They believe that God is real, but they don't really know him. And really, the enemy's told them they can't know him. Or they can't know him very much. Or they're second-class citizens, and maybe they shouldn't try. They have little or no impact on people around them because their testimony is so weak. And that's the kind of relationship you don't want to have. You will see that what they have done is they have failed to pursue God for the very reason he called us, to have a relationship with him. They failed to pursue that. Church, don't fail to pursue a relationship with him. Going to heaven is a benefit, but his purpose was he wants to come and live in you. He sent the Holy Spirit to be in you as well and to teach you and to reveal Jesus to you. Psalm 63, 1 through 8 is one of the most beautiful descriptions of a person seeking after God. This is David, and that's why the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Everybody say, seek. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Now, church, I said this in my last message. You can't follow hard after God and follow hard after the things of this world and power and fame. You have to choose what you're going to follow hard after. So I pulled out these words. This is what it looks like: seeking, thirsting, longing, following hard after him. Don't be ashamed to tell people you're hungry for God. Come on. He gave you that hunger. It's a gift of God. You wouldn't be hungry in your own flesh. The flesh is hungry to have one more meal. Do one more fun thing. Turn flips. Waste your life. Become great. Be known by everybody as someone special. That's what the flesh hungers after. If you have a hunger for God, God gave it to you. It means not being satisfied with a surface relationship. John 14, 23, still in John 14. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. That is the word home. We will make ourselves at home, or we will make him our home, Sam. He will make you his home. When I was in Ukraine, and you know, I hadn't done a lot of just straight evangelistic preaching in a little while when I went over there, and so a lot of people came to the Lord, 3,000. We gave Bibles in 10 days. And one of those Ukrainians said to me, I need to know, actually more than one, said, I need to know, because you said that I can have Jesus in my heart, and I need to have a scripture for this so I could believe it, and I couldn't think of one. I mean, we can get a little rusty on these things. And I was riding home on the bus, and the Lord said to me, try John 14, 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him or in his heart. He has promised us fellowship, communion, partnership. I love the scripture that says that God has a plan that we will be co-laborers, yes, with Jesus Christ. I love it. I pray every day, Lord, show me what you're doing today. I want to do it with you. I want to labor with you in your harvest, what is dear to your heart. I don't want to just do something that seems nice and sweet and good. Holy Spirit, show me what Jesus is about today. So he wants us to have companionship and partnership with him. I'm talking about a real relationship. You know, there are all levels of relationships, aren't there? All levels. If some of us had the relationship with our spouses that we have with God, we'd have been divorced a long time ago. Sometimes we can be so stilted toward God, as if I would say to John, "Hello, darling. So nice to see you today. I know I'm not worthy to be saying hello to you now, but it's me again, darling, trying to convey to you my love and trying to get you to love me too." This is how some of us approach Jesus. Now, don't do that. I'm so free to say, "John, I love you. I'm so glad I married you. I'm so glad that God picked you out for me before I ever thought of marrying anybody."
Yes, baby.
I think it was after we had been out twice.
Third time
that this man shocked me out of my shoes by saying, I hardly knew, I thought, did I hear this right? I just tell you this, he said, "I want to spend my life with you." I thought, oh my goodness, what in the world? What kind of person is this? He wasted no time to convey what his desires and intentions were. Now that can be understood and translated as, "This man's in love." We need to let Jesus know we're in love with him. We're in love with him. And don't be ashamed of it. You need somebody to love that loves you, that gave his life for you, that you're going to spend eternity with. We need to have a tender, real, loving, not a stilted, religious relationship. That's very important. All levels of relationship. All the way down to my darling doggie, Missy, who had her 21st birthday,
wow,
just a few days before mine. Is that fantastic or what? When Missy was young, she's not real young now. And when Missy was young, she would jump up in a chair where I love to sit and read and whatever. She would jump up in the chair and she would move over to one side because this other side was for me. And she would stand up on her little legs until I got in the chair. And I thought this was really neat. Then she would take her right paw and do this, like, "Here, get in right here." After I would sit down, then she would say, "That's right." And so she would help me get in the chair. Well, who can keep from falling in love with a little girl like that? That's one level of love, but I'm talking about the greatest level of love a person can have, because it's with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the greatest lover of mankind. He has promised us these things and called us to be his co-laborers. What is God's purpose? Why is he intent on having relationship with us? Some people, when they teach on this subject, act as if it's optional. And there are people who have relationship with the Lord, and then there's the rest of us that are religious. We come to church and we do right, but, you know, we can't really pray and we can't really worship and we don't really know what they're talking about. And maybe they're just mystics or something. No, it's for the most ordinary person on earth. You, every one of you, is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3:20, he said, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." God is working a mighty power in us. And it is his plan to keep empowering us. When we are with him, the first thing that happens to us is we receive power. If we come into an intimate... Now, we don't receive power by coming to church, as every now and then I've known somebody to do, and stand like this and say, okay, God, I'm here, bless me if you can. Things didn't go good today, and I don't have much confidence for tomorrow, but whatever. But he does empower those that seek him. He does empower those that are willing to spend some time in his presence. And those that want that relationship with him. So the first thing is that he wants to empower us. And when you spend time with the Lord, the more time you spend with him, the more you become like him. And the first attribute you're going to start receiving from him is love. And you're going to recognize it yourself, and people are going to realize that you're more loving than you used to be, that you become more loving. You'll become more tender. You'll find yourself weeping over things that you used to ignore. And you just see, I just thought today was a real weepingful service. I just thought, if you need to catch up on your weeping, you should have joined in today. Because this was such a tender time, so special, so real. It's his means for us to appropriate the power we need. As I mentioned last week, God asks for relationship before he gives you power. That's how he operates. It is our inheritance, the power of God. He has promised that in many places. But the law or the legal way to receive that is by relationship with him. Do we understand this? And if people don't come the legal way, they can move into soul power or even witchcraft or just else not have any power, which is very common as well. People want power without relationship because in relationship, there's commitment. This is why people don't want to get married. And so you become fearful, and well, if you do get married, then you at least have prenuptial agreement. Because commitment is so scary to people. I think, you know, that really comes from thinking that we ourselves are right and we do things right, and maybe we'll marry a person who won't. But I've got good news for you. You don't, and they don't either. And so just be two people marrying that don't really know how to do things right. But if they make Jesus their Lord, making a commitment, listen to me, making a commitment makes life technicolor. Who wants to go through life without commitments? I mean, I can just be sitting in my home and think of a lot of people that I'm committed to and are committed to me. Now, I got some of the sweetest birthday greetings from people, you know, and sometimes just delineating the things where we have committed to each other. Commitment is really a wonderful thing. I'd like to raise your opinion of the word commitment. Bill Johnson has written a new book called Defining Moments that tells about great spiritual people and their power encounters with God. I mean, Amy Semple McPherson, people that you know of. And if they had not had an intimate relationship encounter with God, they would not have obtained that power. So if we're going to have power with God, then we must pursue relationship. That's the only place the power from heaven comes from, is through relationship with Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. T.L. Osborne tells in his book about how his encounter with Jesus changed his ministry from an ordinary one where he went to India and came back home a complete failure. But Jesus walked into the room, and I'm talking about a tremendous experience, but he actually saw Jesus. And from that time, he entered into a healing ministry known all over the world. We can do great things, but we've got to touch Jesus first. When the depth of your spirit, this is where the depth of your spirit comes from. It's locked in your prayer life with him. The depth of your spirit. Say it again. The depth of your spirit comes, it is locked in your prayer life. That's where it comes from. And it won't come from anywhere else. You won't get any deeper staying away from him. Intimacy encounter then equals power encounter. Daniel 11:32, the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. The people who know their God. And so many people are not taught to know God. They're not taught how to know Him, how to pray, how to worship, any of these things. And so therefore they're not strong, and we're not seeing enough exploits being done. Intimacy is the place where we are changed from glory to glory. It's the place where the purposes of God are birthed. And the main condition to have continued fellowship with God is a covenant of commitment. It's the place where God imparts Himself and His power. Sometimes people say, well, I don't think we need to pray a lot. We just need to pray some. Some people think prayer is too important and whatever. Well, here's just the point. If you're praying sincerely every time you come to pray, you're receiving an impartation of God and His power. So you have to decide, is this what I want, or does that not matter very much to me? I'm going to give you a couple of three examples that are very fresh to me that I just learned. Over my birthday, I went up to Louisville, Kentucky, and heard Yongyi Cho, who pastors the largest church in the world, he raised it up, has 1 million people. A man worth honoring. And also Carlos Anacondia, who has spoken here, who the last time I heard, which was 15 or 20 years ago, he had won 3.5 million people to the Lord as an evangelist. People worth listening to. And Carlos Anacondia told this story, that he sought God for 8 days continually. He wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in power. And he wanted to come into a relationship with God where he would really know Him. And on the 8th day, he received a breakthrough that set him on fire. And by the way, he was a wealthy man, and he owned a factory that made nuts and bolts and things like that. And so he didn't go to Bible school. He wasn't educated in this way. But God called him, and he just went out and started praying for the sick and teaching the truth of the gospel, and God started doing miracles. But I heard him say, he said, I'm 72 years old. Oh, he acts like he's maybe, 32. And man is so full of energy. It's just really amazing. But he just made the statement, and I have ministered the gospel every day of my life. And I don't get involved in vacations and doing other things because I just don't have enough time to do it. The man is absolutely on fire. And he flies all over the world. And he prayed for people while we're there to be healed. He so poured himself out. Yongyi Cho, and I also heard Mrs. Cho, his wife. I'd never heard her before, and I didn't know how old Yongyi Cho was. I think I told you all he might be 91 or something. I think now he might be 89. I don't have time to look it up, but you can. The man's old. And I had heard that he wasn't all that well and that he might not be at this meeting in Louisville. But he told the story that, Yongyi Cho was healed of tuberculosis. That's how he came into the ministry. But he had other battles. How many people are here today that you're battling some chronic ailment? Or you're believing God today, and you have an expectation. I want to encourage you when you hear about this. It sounded like Carlos Anacondia has maybe not had any problems with sickness. I mean, people even that are very close to God may or may not have these encounters. Sometimes these things happen, we don't have all the answers, but we know where the answer is. And we know who has the power, and we know what God's plan is to heal us and make us whole. And so Yongyi Cho made the statement that he spends, and I know this is true, I know personally the person whose father founded that work with Cho and was with him all those years. And she's told me all these things about Yang Yi Cho are true. He prays from 2 to 5 hours every day. In one of his books, he says he prays 3 times a day, like Daniel did. And so he tells, Yang Yi Cho tells about how very late in life, I think he's talking about just a few years ago, he became very ill. And he had already turned his church over to someone else. And he was in the hospital, and maybe he'd been sick for quite a while. You have to guess a little bit when people have a heavy accent. And they don't fill in all the facts that you and I would like to have. So trust me, if any of you finds an adjustment to this, you can let me know. This is the best I could hear it. But he spent this time with the Lord. He's seen so many people healed. He's seen so many miracles. What a miracle to have a church of 1 million people. What kind of a prayer life would you have with God? But toward the end of his life in the hospital, he was so sick and he was in a lot of pain. And he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, he had received an invitation to minister in India, and they promised him there would be 30,000 people there. Which is, in India, you can really get the people. One thing they've got is people. That's right, doctor, right? And so he said he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I would rather die traveling somewhere or preaching somewhere than lying in this bed of pain as long as I live. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, then go. And he went and he preached in that meeting successfully, and they had a great meeting. Now, those of you that are wondering, you know, about the thing taking so long and that kind of thing, I want you to know that the Lord never stops knowing what you're asking him for, what you're believing him for. His promises never change. Every promise is in Christ Jesus. Yea and amen. The only choice we have is to believe for our healing, and there's no reason not to. The only reason would be discouragement, lies of the enemy, and that kind of thing. So when I saw him speak, I'm thinking he's close to 90, about 89 maybe. And he was great. His voice was strong. He had a great... I think some of you heard that message because we sent you information. It was on Daystar and how you could watch that live, which is what we did. And he preached very strong. I think he spoke for an hour or more. And I thought, here he is traveling just to Louisville, Kentucky, doing this, even though the enemy has tried so many ways. But he is so close to God. So close to the Holy Spirit, he just keeps going back to him, back to his healer. And so here he is, revitalized again. So then his wife, you probably need to fasten your seatbelts for this. Everybody on here, the click. Fasten that seatbelt. I've never heard a story. This is the most outrageous miracle maybe that I've heard. I don't know how to evaluate it, but I thought, my gracious. She's about the same age that he is, but she told about their work in India, and she said, you know, there that there's about 2% Christians in India. The rest are Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, and so there's a lot of animosity, especially in certain places, against Christians. And she told about this man who was so in love with Jesus, had such a relationship with Jesus. He and his family gave their hearts to the Lord. And a person from one of these other faiths came, and I guess there was more than one. There were people with him, and they said, we want you to recant and follow our religion, or this is the day you die. And he started singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And he sang that through, and they shot his children. After that, he sang, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. At that point, they killed his wife. And amazing, 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 he sang. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And suddenly, all the members of his family were resurrected. Right before their eyes. And it doesn't stop there. Immediately, they ran through the village telling what had happened, and everybody in the village came to Jesus. It's just like when they killed Jesus. They thought they were killing him. They actually multiplied him. They planted the seed that would grow all over the world. Any time that God's people know Jesus enough that they can stand against everything the enemy brings against them, it's a mighty power. It goes, it's in the power of resurrection. And it brings a power to win multitudes to Jesus. This is why we have to know him. And then the days ahead, as someone said to me in our new members class, doesn't look all that great for America, no matter what. I said, oh, I know. But the best is yet to come. There are problems. There are a lot of problems. It makes me sick. It makes me disgusted. It makes me disappointed. It makes me sorry that people can't get some sense and have some understanding. However, I have a Savior that said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. You're going to need a relationship with Jesus in the future and the Holy Spirit to be guided to know what to do. Don't follow voices of fear in this hour. Don't do what fear tells you to do. Let the Holy Ghost lead you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It won't be by my power. You'll have to tap into the supernatural power. When you know him by the Holy Ghost, it's supernatural power. But no relationship with Jesus, no supernatural power. How can I have this relationship last? The main condition to have continued fellowship with God is a covenant of commitment. Go to that place and seek him with all your heart. Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Let me read that to you in the Amplified. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord. Have they who fear, meaning revere and worship him, and he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Isn't that wonderful? His covenant relationship is with those who fear him, who worship him, who revere him. It's impossible to have fellowship with God without a covenant of commitment. Make a commitment to him. I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to get together with you. I'm going to carve out some time that's yours and mine together. I've read things about ejaculatory prayers and all kinds of praying as you go. And no problem. If you can pray while you drive, please have at it. But don't let that. We need an undistracted time. Yeah. How many of you hate to drive with a distracted driver? I mean, to ride with him. And we need to give our whole attention to him. Amen. How do you develop this relationship? Worship is the basis of intimacy. I mean, worship is an amazing thing to me. When we, John and I, were in the denominational church, I mean, we knew this word worship, but I never worshiped. I mean, we sang some songs. Sometimes I went to the altar. Judy went many times. 250. We were in the same denominational church, and we were always trying to have a relationship. Don't try to have a relationship. Yield and sign on to a commitment to be with him, and he gives you that. You don't have to try. You'll be amazed how the world will come alive to you when you get with Him and get in His Word and just love Him and worship Him. God doesn't come where He's tolerated. He comes where He's celebrated.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We fail to receive revelation because we don't stay in that place with Him. Intimacy is where we open our hearts to God and He opens His heart to us. You know, He said, and I will disclose myself. I'm telling you, God will speak to you. I heard, this is not just something that people that are weird, full gospel, charismatic people teach. I heard a good Baptist preacher preaching a message not long ago, and he was saying, of course you can hear God speak. I like that. I thought, well, say on. We just need to give Him some time. We need to wait, and then we need to get into the Word. He very often speaks out of His Word. And He will sometimes give you a rhema, which means a living word. You can take it to the bank for whatever it is that you need. There's the logos word, which is the said word. And there's the rhema word, which is the saying word. It's the word that God is saying to you right now. And if you give Him enough time, He'll start saying some things to you that will make your life completely different, that will give you that healing, that will move your family into the place where they need to be, all the things that you need to happen to you. But it comes by spending time with Him. You know, I just wanted to close with the thought of this. One of the most beautiful worshipers and lovers of God I think we have a picture of. By the way, if when you're in that place and you want to learn about worship with Jesus, when you are in that place, read the Psalms. Read them aloud. And mark, and if you don't mark in your Bible, put that aside and get one that you can mark in. You need to be able to let God talk to you, maybe even put a date there, you know, that God said something to you. But when you get into the Word of God, He will cause to live to you the things that you need for now, especially to develop that relationship with Him. That woman there, now if I sit here, I'm hoping that you all can see me. If not, we can move that. Yeah, just move that. Could you give me a hand, please? I want to talk to you just a minute as I close about that woman in Luke chapter 7. And sometimes she is known as a radical worshiper, and she was certainly compared to everybody else. And the Lord doesn't necessarily want everybody to do the radical types of things that she did, but that's where her heart was, and that's how it's how you can show the Lord that you love Him. And I think everybody needs to be free to bow, to prostrate yourself before Him, to lift up your hands to Him. Any kind of these, there are seven ways that we're told to praise God. Any of those ways, we need to always at any time be free to do that. And she came into His presence, and Jesus corrected the Pharisee who had invited Him there. And He said, you know, I entered and you didn't give me a kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. And, you know, you didn't give me the things that I needed, but this woman has anointed my head with oil. She has wept until she has washed my feet and dried them with the hairs of her head. I'm just so interested that when people are so reluctant about worship expressions, could we just take a minute and read how Jesus bragged on this woman? I'd like to give Jesus something to brag about, and I'm just saying, I'd like for Him to be able to tell the angels, have you noticed how Sue just is not interested in what anybody thinks? That she just wants me to know that she loves. Sometimes I feel like she's trying to convince me all over again. And I appreciate that she does that before other people. See, this woman didn't care who was there, what they thought, or what their background was, or anything like that. So I think that I get from this that when we worship Jesus, you know, she pours ointment on him. And it was very valuable. He wants us to pour out what is valuable to us. That's what real worship is. Whether it's your own self causes or your own interests or your own pride, he just wants you to just lay it all down. She came and poured out the most valuable thing. She actually gave her life, part of her life, to him. And because there was such an overflow of being in his presence, think about it, she wept until her tears washed his feet. And she dried them with the hairs of her head. I heard Anacondia say, maybe he said it to me, I think, "I wanted to have compassion for souls." I said, "Lord, I want to be able to weep for souls. Please make my heart tender." He said, "Oh my, I had no idea what God was getting ready to do to me. But he put this love for souls in my heart. And he caused a holy fire to start burning in me. And handkerchiefs were not enough to catch my tears. I had to use bed sheets." I thought, something lost in the translation here. No, that's what he said. Ed Miller said that there was a man who used to come during their revival, and every day he would come to pray for souls, and he would lean his head like this against the wall and stand there and cry for a long period of time. He was the man who led that great revival in Argentina about the 50s. And he said, then you could see a puddle of tears where he had cried. I'm not saying you have to move into that realm. I'm just saying it is right to weep over souls. Marianne Brown worked for the pastor of the Big Dallas Church. I forget his name. What was it? Yeah, Criswell, W.A. Criswell. And one day she went into her pastor's office, Criswell. He had loaned it out to Billy Graham, who was speaking. She didn't know that. And so she went and she saw Billy Graham lying on his face on the floor. And she heard him weeping. And later when she went in, where he had been weeping, she said there was a puddle of tears on the floor. How did Billy Graham get so great? He got close to God and let God's love come where you care about people of all kinds and all races, and the pretty ones and the ugly ones and the likely to be saved and the likely to be lost. We don't know anything about anything. Why don't we just love everybody, right? I saw her having this kind of love, this woman. And even though religious people were critical, it's what Jesus appreciated. It's what Jesus wanted. He wants people that will pour their hearts out to him. And here's what I want us to do this morning. There's two things I want us to do. Will you stand together? I wonder if you'd do this. Let's just bow our hearts in his presence. If there's anyone this morning here that's never given your heart to the Lord, I want to be sure that I give you that opportunity. So you can